This week, hundreds of thousands around the world joined together for a special hour of prayer for the hostages that are still held in Gaza. The special day of prayer was organized to fall on the day of Esther's feast, which she held to out Haman's wicked plan to the Persian king. Now, on this Purim, thousands of years later, we find the state of Israel in a position not unlike that which they have experienced many times throughout history. We are introduced to Haman in Esther 3, verse 1. Sometime after this, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite. Agag was the king of the Amalekites, which Saul lacked the faith to kill, and whose people he and the nation ultimately failed to utterly destroy. And Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." Reading from 1 Samuel 15, verse 20. And Haman wasn't just any common Amalekite. Rather, he was of the royal lineage of Amalek. He was the royalty of Amalek. The Jewish rabbis, they teach that Amalek represents whatever evil is facing the Jewish people in their present time. And today we have seen the spirit of Amalek in the actions of Hamas on October 7th and through the wave of anti-Semitism following those horrific events. It's the same spirit of pure hatred that Amalek had for the people of God. And it's that same spirit which we can see rearing its ugly head again today. Anti-Semitism has made a resurgence after the events of October the 7th, on both the political left and the political right. Anti-Semitism had already been on the rise throughout the last several decades, and maybe it had never died. But the events of October the 7th and the following response from Israel has served as a catalyst for anti-Semitism, as if pouring gasoline upon a fire. Two recent examples in Canada within the last few weeks. One was a report which came out of Toronto, Canada, and it stated that 56% of the hate crimes in 2024 have been targeted against Jews. And the second was a cartoon which was run in the French Canadian La Presse. The publication, which was once a paper of record in Canada, ran a political cartoon on March 20th portraying Netanyahu as a vampire with a huge hooked nose, pointy ears, and claws for diners, dressed in Dracula's overcoat while standing on the deck of a pirate ship. The caption, written in blood-dripping red letters, read, "Nosferatu en route vers Rafa." Nosferatu, the Romanian word for vampire, was the title of a photo Nazi German silent horror film from 1922, chock full of anti-Semitic poison. The film, which became something of a cult flick, featured a vampire with a long Jewish nose. He arrived at an idyllic German town with a box full of plague-carrying rats that he released on innocent villagers as he plotted to suck his realtor's blood. And that quote is taken from Israel National News or Eretz Sheva. And we turn to another verse in Esther chapter 3. Esther 3 and verse 8. "There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all provinces of thy kingdom." This is the argument that Haman brings against the Jews to the Persian king. And this was the state of the Jewish nation at the beginning of Esther. And again, the Jewish rabbis teach that the dual emphasis on scattered abroad and dispersed — why does it say scattered abroad and dispersed — shows how divided the nation was at that time. And of course, we know that there were those who had returned in faith to the land under the decree of Cyrus, and then there were some that have remained back, perhaps from a lack of faith. Perhaps they were comfortable in their position. They had assimilated into Persian society, become successful in Persia or in Shushan, and they had become detached from the land of Israel. A quote connecting the Jewish religion to the land, it reads, "That is clearly why the Jew was made different from all others, in the sense that his is a creed that is land-centered. The Jew was given a specific land and commanded to live only there. Judaism became a land-centered faith, and that's taken from the ideology of Kach. Rabbi Jeremy Gimple, speaking on the perspective within the nation right now, in Israel right now, he says, But what I realized in the state of Israel that there are indeed two states. And it's not like two states, like the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel. It's two states of mind. And so today in Israel and in the Jewish diaspora, or diaspora, we have two polarizing perspectives on what the nation should be. And over the past year, we've all seen the growing anti-government protests taking place in Israel. And that's mostly under the mask of opposition to the proposed judicial reforms. And some of that has also been in support of a hostage deal with Hamas more recently. And really, what we're seeing is a war of divergent dreams. On one side, we have the political left in Israel, which dream of a state, which is just like any other secular and democratic nation. And that celebrates all of the same humanistic thinking of this world and wickedness and debauchery that this world does. While others in Israel have a different dream. And this dream is of rebuilding the temple. It's of restoring the nation to a Torah-based society. And in all this, they can see the establishment of the State of Israel as the first step in the redemption process. Just reading a couple quotes from this perspective, again from the ideology of Kach, a holy and special and separate Jewish people living in a holy and special and separate Jewish land, building a holy and special and separate Jewish society, filled with goodness and kindness and ethics, but in the exact manner and form and way that the Almighty ordered them, a society and a state that shall serve as a light unto the nations in the real sense of the word, a society of living of good deeds, but always under the concept of the yoke of heaven, ethics and morality as He decreed and not as we desire. This is the national destiny and obligation of the Jew. And again, for this is the era of His footsteps, the beginning of the redemption. We heard His footsteps as the state came into being. We heard His footsteps as the state came into being. We heard Him pounding on the door during the Six-Day War. He waits to enter. And notice the complaint which Haman brings to the king when he's trying to incriminate the Jewish people. He says, their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. And the keeping of the laws commanded by God at Sinai is a powerful force. And the Apostle Paul describes that in some degree in Hebrews. He says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, Hebrews 4 and verse 12. We recognize that as Israel progresses towards a more religious society, a more Torah-based society, in contrast to the nations around them, that these more religious elements of society will consequently face increasing opposition, isolation, and hatred from the world around them. And there is nothing that the Catholic Biden administration fears more than a Jewish society, a Jewish state ruled by Torah. The idea of a Jewish state based on Torah is heresy to the liberal democracies of the West, and even more so to the papacy. Many journalists and political experts have warned that the current Israeli government will lead Israel to growing international isolation. And since the current government was initiated into office, there has been growing international pressure from the U.S. and other nations for Bibi or Netanyahu to be thrown out, and along with him to throw out the extremist elements of his government. And recently, likely because the attempts to pressure Bibi to sabotage his own government has failed, multiple members of the U.S. government have called for new elections in Israel to dispose of Netanyahu with the intention of electing putting into place a more moderate Israeli government. Senator Chuck Schumer called for elections in Israel on March 14th in a speech where he said the Netanyahu coalition no longer fits the needs of Israel after October 7. The world has changed radically since then, and the Israeli people are being stifled right now by a governing vision that is stuck in the past. Nobody expects Prime Minister Netanyahu to do the things that must be done to break the cycle of violence, preserve Israel's credibility on the world stage, and work towards a two-state solution. And while the U.S. and her allies and the Biden administration might be working to overthrow this current government and impose a more leftist government, the problem is that on the ground, most Israelis do not support this. And so, while most Israelis may not want Netanyahu as prime minister anymore, this doesn't translate to the electorate being more willing to accept those left-wing secular values, especially after October 7. And this point is supported in this article from the far-left Israeli media outlet Haaretz. Israelis are rejecting Netanyahu. That doesn't mean that they are embracing left-wing views or that they have committed themselves to ending the war or reaching a final status agreement with the Palestinians based on two states or getting to the bottom of what it would mean to strengthen Israeli democracy. And the polling data within Israel on the breakup of votes for individual parties or individual leaders and individual issues supports this statement. So, example, when Israelis are surveyed on support for a two-state solution, the majority do not support it. And then when it comes to the breakup of votes, well, it might look like the right-wing coalition would not have the same support going into another election. We have to recognize that there are also parties that do not support Netanyahu, but are actually right-wing parties. So it's not as easy as the Biden administration might like to think that it is. And the Biden administration has also taken more action against Israelis. They've targeted with sanctions those whom they've classified as religious extremists. And the reason that they give for this is due to what they call is due to dramatically increasing rates of what they call settler violence. And one Israeli magazine points out that the American campaign against Jewish communities, including sanctions against individual residents, began with the settler violence campaign by leftist activists and foreign governments. The narrative is one of multiple blood libels spread by the UN against Israel and largely relies on reports by both local and foreign radical left-wing organizations that receive significant support from the European Union. And that's taken from Hakol HaYehudi. And this narrative of settler violence is another attempt to draw a moral equivalency between Israel and Hamas. And it's and most of this increase is due to false reports by EU-funded NGOs. And so in Israel, October 7th has served as a wake-up call to both those living inside of Israel and those in the diaspora. And these events are not dissimilar to the wake-up call that the community of Jews in Persia would have received when they received this letter detailing their destruction at the hands of Haman. And this was the reaction of Mordecai and the Jewish community of Shushan when they received the letter detailing the destruction of their people. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. And following the events of October 7th, many Jews abroad in the diaspora have begun to connect with their Jewishness again. And Israel is one of the only countries in the world to actually have people coming to Israel and immigrating to Israel, making Aliyah to Israel, during an active conflict, during an active war. We'll recall that when Ukraine started to be invaded by Russia, many of the Ukrainians fled. Not so in Israel. We have seen soldiers coming home from all over the world to be able to fight in Israel. We have seen doctors making Aliyah to support Israel. We have seen many others moving to Israel. So within Israel, we have also seen soldiers and citizens reconnecting with their faith again, becoming more religious in response to the actions of Hamas. Rabbi Eli Mishkel, writing in Hamizrahi, says, "Meanwhile, Mattisyahu, the superstar reggae musician who in recent years distanced himself from Judaism, reacted similarly to the massacre of October 7. On the Amy's House podcast, he explained that his Pintel Yid, his Jewish spark, was awakened. "Over the years, being Jewish has become less central to me, and right now it's come back full force. Israel's religious revival, particularly among IDF soldiers, is well documented. High demand for tzitzit and tefillin, and moving scenes of religious and secular soldiers praying together have become tangible signs of a spiritual awakening." Another example of this is that IDF soldiers have begun wearing patches of the temple on their uniforms. Quoting from the Temple Institute, "Many of our soldiers in Gaza and in the north are sporting patches of the Holy Temple. Israel's fight is the fight for the future of the entire world, and the Holy Temple represents the potential for good in the world. The IDF soldiers who are wearing the temple patch know exactly what they are fighting for and why. A house of prayer for all nations." And that's taken from Isaiah 56, verse 7. Unfortunately, the book of Esther and the story of Purim doesn't end with the destruction of the Jews. Actually, Esther is the only book in the entirety of Scripture where God is not directly mentioned. He is not mentioned by name. Yet, in the book of Esther and in the story of Purim, it is impossible to not see the hand of God working in each and every page of the book to deliver his people and to bring about salvation for them. And today, we can see the hand of God diligently working around the world to bring about the return of his Son and the reestablishment of the kingdom of God in Israel. And just quoting from Esther chapter 8 and verses 16 to 17, "The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor, and in every province and every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day, and many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them."